Lord, we pray for Paola. We do pray that you would speak to us through her, that you would open our ears, that we would hear your word for us, and that you would give her the grace to speak your word well and give us the grace to hear well. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Sorry. I need to see. Sorry, getting there. And that's up, yeah. So, as Dan said, we are continuing today on our journey through Mark, and we'll be looking at the Mark 4, verses 1 to 34, which are the parables of the kingdom. But before I start looking at the parables of the kingdom, I would like to make four comments. First, up to this point in the Gospel of Mark, everything that we have read, there is a lot of action. So from when Jesus was baptized to when he chose his disciples to all the miracles that he performed, all the healings, all the casting out of demons. But now when we get to chapter 4, there is a pause. And this chapter, it's all about Jesus' teaching. And the first 34 verses are about the kingdom. And Jesus tells us the meaning of the kingdom of God and how we can partake in it. Number two, the healing, the casting out of demons that we have heard about up to now, they really set the scene for these. And we would have heard from our various speakers, why did Jesus heal? You know, and we can think about it. Jesus did healing, why? Because he loved and had compassion on the people that he met. Jesus taught to us through the healing that he performed. Also, Jesus showed us that he was truly God through the healing, and so that the claims that he was making were really true. But above all these, what Jesus started to do through the healing and the casting out of demon is to start to reestablish again the kingdom of God on earth. And he really shows us that he has ultimate power over illness, over death, and over Satan, and that he has come to earth to establish his kingdom in us and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Number three, third comment. To teach, Jesus uses parables. What are parables? So parables are images or stories taken from daily life. And people that were listening to Jesus would understand what he was talking about. But also, these parables had a deeper meaning. And sometimes these parables contain a riddle, something that when people listen to the story, there would have been something that didn't make sense to them, something peculiar. And often the deeper meaning that Jesus was about was in this peculiar thing, in this dissonance that was there. Okay, last thing, last comment. I just want to draw our attention before we start on a key word that Mark uses here, and that is the word to hear. And for those of us who were at the Lord's Day last Saturday, Ross did this. All the seeds were put in order, kids there, and he sent them around the room to look for seeds. And then all the seeds were put in order, and there was a sentence that was read, which is, anyone who has ears to hear ought to hear. And the way that we listen to the word of God, the way that we listen and our response to his proclamation of the kingdom is key. Because we are not just supposed to hear the word of God with our ears, but we are, we, in Italian it's difficult with the H, so I always get the two confused. But anyway, we are not supposed to hear with our ears, but we are supposed to believe the word of God. We are supposed to ponder on the word that we listen to. We are supposed to let it penetrate us, and we are supposed to let it change us more and more into the character of God. And this is what being a disciple is. And if we look at the next slide, there is something that St. Basil the Great said about being a disciple. And what he said is, a disciple is whoever draws near to the Lord to follow him, to hear his words, to believe and obey him as Lord and King and Doctor and Teacher of the truth. So we are supposed to hear the word of God, believe in it, and let us penetrate us and change us so that we can obey and live a life in obedience to the Lord. And I think it's really worth thinking about this. It's really worth thinking about our attitude when we listen to the word of God or when we read the word of God. You know, how are things for us? You know, what do we do? Do we, if we change slide, what is our response to the word of God? Do we open our hearts to God's message? Do we treasure it and ponder it and allow it to change us? Change our thinking, change our speech, change our action to make us more like Christ. And I think this is something that it's good for each one of us to think about, you know. How do we listen to the Lord? Do we allow his word to make an impact in our life? Okay, now after these four comments, we can start and look at Mark. And what I want to do is I want to look at I'm going to look at three parables. And what I'm trying to draw out of these parables is how Jesus builds the kingdom in us, through us, and with the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to start with the parable of the sower and look at how Jesus changes us, how Jesus builds the kingdom in us. So if we have the next slide, we can read. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the bird came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seeds fell amongst thorns, which grew up and choked the plant, so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times." There are many things that could be said about this parable. In fact, we could just have a talk just on the parable of the sower. So I am not going to do that. What I want to do mainly is focus on the soil. And look at, you know, what are these soils and which kind of soil are we? And Jesus explains what the soils are. So I'm going to just read what Jesus said. Verses 14 to 20. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown amongst thorns, hear the word, but the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. So let's try and unpack this. So the sower is Jesus, and the seeds are the Word of God. So we start with looking at the path, and these are people that are either not interested or they're not receptive to the Word of God. So the devil, which in the picture is the birds, come and take the Word away. And this could be any one of us. You know, I can think of times in my life when I pray, I hear a word from the Lord, and maybe it's the word that I really didn't want to hear because it's too difficult. Or maybe the Lord shows me a way that he wants me to go, and it's hard. And so I set it aside, and I say, yeah, I will think about it later. And then I get distracted with other things, and therefore the word is lost. So it's not just people not interested or not receptive, but it could also be, it could be us. Rocky grounds. You know, we see there the plant starts to grow, but the roots are not deep enough. So the sun comes and burns the plants. So these can be people that hear the word and they take it for what it is. It's the good news. But then the word doesn't penetrate deep enough. And so when difficulties come, it's lost. And I think all of us can think of people that maybe we have invited to an Alpha course or to a Life in the Spirit seminar or to a Kairos weekend. And they come there and they really hear and believe what they have heard. And they are changed and they give their life to the Lord and maybe they start walking in the path of discipleship. But then they go back home and maybe something hard happens to them or to someone that they love. Or maybe their friends start taunting them because they've changed their way of life radically and they start struggling with it. And after a while, they go back to their old ways. Let's look at the thorny soils. You know, these are people that let the word sink in and the plant starts growing. But then, you know, either because of anxiety or because they start being concerned about worldly things or interest in money, and all these other things suffocate the word of God and it bears no fruit. And if we look at the Mark, when he speaks about the thorns, he doesn't speak about great sins. Mainly speaks about anxiety and cares of life. And this can apply to each one of us. You know, we can be in situations that are difficult in our normal daily life, and we can become so anxious that we almost get paralyzed, and maybe we start praying less, and maybe we start not making the radical decision that we would have made, thinking, oh, but because of my circumstances, I cannot do that. And we stop bearing fruit. And then there is the last good soil, people who hear the words, understand it, accept it, and bear fruit, and therefore they produce 30, 60, or 100-fold. And when we hear, when we really listen, and we let the word of God to penetrate in us, we basically put our roots deep into the Lord. We become wiser. We become more. We become stronger in the Lord, not in ourselves. And so when difficulties come, if our roots are really dug deep into the Lord, with the grace of God, we can withstand difficulties, more than if we had it. And so we can bear fruit even in difficult circumstances. So looking at the next slides, which kind of soil are we? You know, do we allow the word of God to penetrate in us and change us? Are we open or do we harden our hearts? Do we allow the cares of this world to rob us of God's word? Has the word been fruitful in us? And if it's not been fruitful, why? You know, what are the obstacles? What are the things that we are struggling with? And maybe bring those things to your sharing group and ask your brothers and sisters to pray for you. We all have obstacles. Each one of us, I don't think there is one person in this room that for whom there are no obstacles. We all have those things. But if we really desire for the word of God to be fruitful in us, we need to bring these things to the light and ask our brothers and sisters to pray for us. I would like to draw your attention now to a couple of things. You know, I spoke before about these peculiar things, and there are a couple in this passage. So people that would have listened to Jesus would have been really surprised by two things in this passage. One thing is about the carelessness of the sower. I mean, at that time, seeds were quite expensive. They were a rare commodity. So they would have been very surprised by a sower going around throwing seeds without looking at where the seeds were going to go. And the other thing that they would have been surprised is by the return. So at that time, a normal return would have been sevenfold. A good return would have been tenfold. But Jesus doesn't speak about seven, or he doesn't speak about 10. He speaks about 30, 60, and 100. And that's a miraculous return. This was something unprecedented that they would not have seen. So why does Jesus do that? And first of all, the carelessness of the sower. We know that the sower is Jesus, and Jesus is not careless. He takes great care with what he does, and he does things with a purpose. And the fact that he throws the seed, that he throws his words, it means he really wants his words to reach everyone. Jesus is really generous with his words, and it doesn't matter. Even if people does not receive it, he still gives them his word. And the other thing, the return, is Jesus wants to show us that the growth in the kingdom of God is miraculous. God can do wonderful things with the little things. He can transform what we give to him. The growth in the kingdom of God happens in miraculous ways. And the growth is not straightforward. The growth of the kingdom in us is not straightforward. There are going to be setbacks, like the seeds that fall on the path or in the thorns. But we need to trust in the Lord. We need to cooperate with his grace. If we slip, if something happens, we need to humbly go to the Lord. And the Lord is going to heal and restore, and is going to continue to build his kingdom in us. Okay, second parable that we are going to look at today, how the Lord works, or how the Lord builds his kingdom through us. And this is the parable that Dan used at the beginning with the children. So a lamp on a stand. Yeah, it's already up. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." I have a question for you. Is God living in us? Do you believe that God is living in you?
Yes.
Good answer. God is living in each one of us. So if God is living in each one of us, we should live in a way that reflects his character. We should live in a way that allows his light to shine through us and reach other people. And we should be prepared to do this and to continue to be light of the world in today's world without expecting any return, and also without being too anxious about the consequences of us being the light. And we should trust that the Lord is going to use our yes and multiply our yes. How can we be the light of the world? How can we be the light in the place where we are? And I think there are many ways that we can do that. In our evangelistic world, you know, we can bring the word of God in our outreaches with the people at work, with our neighbors. We can talk about the Lord. We can talk about the difference that the Lord has made in our life. We can do it in the way that we relate with people. You know, if, and this is in our, with our neighbors or with the people at work, if we reflect God's character in the way that we relate to them, in the way that we speak, in the way that we act, that brings the Lord to them, bring God's love to them. And we can do it here in the community, in the way that we relate with our brothers and sisters, living in the light with one another, you know, and the Lord wants to use us to bring his love to and his healing to our brothers and sisters. And the same, he wants to do that for us through our brothers and sisters. If we look at the words that Santa Teresa of Avila spoke, she said, "Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ looks with compassion into the world. Yours are the feet with which Christ walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which Christ blesses the world. So we are his hands, his feet, and his voice. And of course, the Lord could do all of this by himself, but he bestows on us the privilege to be his co-workers with him. So Jesus' purpose is for the kingdom of God to be made known as a lamp on a stand. He wants us to receive his words, he wants us to receive his teaching, and he wants us to pass on his words and his teaching. So, next slide. Do we realize that we have Christ? Do we realize, that what we have in Christ is so precious that we cannot keep it just for ourselves, but that we need to be open to share it with those around us? Are we prepared to be a light on a stand without worrying about the consequences? Okay, I want to look now at the last parable. And I want to look at how God builds his kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit. And for that, we are going to look at the parable of the mustard seed. Okay. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Of what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet, when planted, it grows and it becomes the largest plant of all garden, plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." So in this parable, we are told that the smallest seed becomes the largest of plants, with branches that receive birds of all different species that come in its shade, come to be restored and nest there. And if we think of the church, you know, when the church started, the church was very small. It was Jesus and the 12 apostles. But because of the yes that the apostles said to Jesus, God was able to use them. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he was able to spread the words of God everywhere in the world, not only with the Jews, but to the Gentiles. You know, we receive the word of God because of the yes that the first apostles gave to Jesus. And the apostles were not perfect, you know, and we see that, you know, in the stories that we read. They doubted. They fell asleep when Jesus asked them to pray and wake. They left Jesus. They sinned. The first apostles were exactly like we are now. But they said yes. And Jesus asked the same yes from us today. You know, in humility, knowing that we don't have what it takes, but he does. And he can multiply our yes, and he can use us if we can say yes. Not because we are great, but because he is. So what is the Lord asking of us today. Are we prepared to be obedient and respond with a full yes? Are we prepared to give the Lord the little that we have so that he can transform it for the glory of his kingdom? Are we prepared to join with the psalmist in Psalm 40 and say, "Here I am, I have come, it is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart." And this is a difficult thing to say, "I desire to do your will." It's very easy to say that when God's will aligns with ours. But it's something else when the two wills are not aligned. And we need God's grace to be able to actually pray this psalm with meaning. Let me look now again in this psalm at something that the listeners of that time would have found strange. When Jesus said this parable, there is something that would have not sound right to them. And you can put up the picture of the mustard tree. And that is the mustard tree. So when Jesus started, "The kingdom of God is like," what the listeners would have expected is for Jesus to say, "like a tree of Lebanon." Because the tree of Lebanon is tall, is majestic, is a strong tree, and also is the tree that was used in the Old Testament. So when Isaiah spoke about the kingdom of God, he said that the kingdom of God was like the tree of Lebanon. But Jesus doesn't say the tree of Lebanon. He talks about the mustard tree. And now you can look in the internet and sometimes you find tall pictures with beautiful yellow flowers. But actually, at the time of Jesus, the mustard tree would have been like that. So it would have been not a particularly tall tree and quite wide, quite messy if you look at it, but with low branches and with birds that would have come and nested in it and found refuge there. So why does Jesus use the mustard tree? I think Jesus wants us to understand, and wanted the Jews of that time to understand, that the kingdom of God is not necessarily what they were expecting. It was going to be something different. And that it spreads not in the usual way. The way that the kingdom of God grows is through the Holy Spirit and through the grace of God. And this is what happened. You know, the church has experienced obstacles from the very beginning. There have been so many setbacks. But like the mustard tree, and the mustard tree is a little bit like mint, you know, once you have it there, it keeps on growing. And even when there are some, you know, difficulties or some bits are cut, it keeps on going. And the same, you know, with the kingdom of God. You know, and you see countries where Christianity has been eradicated completely, like Japan, but it still kept on growing, you know, hidden. And when the country was open again, it all, you know. So it's the same. And this image of the mustard tree, this image of the tree where birds go and nest, reminded me of a picture that one of our companions had, Mary Spencer. This was a while back, a long time ago, but she had a picture at one of our community meetings of a tree full of birds. And there were birds that were coming and nesting there, and there were birds that were coming for a while, get refreshed, and then they would fly off somewhere else. And I think that this is the kingdom of God that God is building in our community. This is the kingdom. We are not a cedar of Lebanon. We are more like a mustard tree. You know, we have been battered and bruised. Different twigs have been broken, especially in the last few years. But through the grace of God and through humility, we are continuing to grow. We are continuing to try and grow in the Lord. And we are continuing to offer refuge to people of different kinds. You know, if you look around in the room, we are all so different. We are from different countries, from different backgrounds. We have got different gifting. But this is the place that the Lord has for us. the place that the Lord has called us to be and to grow in him. And like in the picture of Mary Spencer's, you know, there are some people that have been here for a long time, and there are some people that the Lord has had living with us for a while, and then they've moved and served the Lord somewhere else. You can think of the McKenzies, I can think of the Maris, Father John, and other people, you know. So what is my conclusion from all of these parables? My conclusion is that we should take heart. The Lord is as active today as he was 2,000 years ago when he was walking on this earth. And he's continuing to heal, he's continuing to restore, and he's continuing to build his kingdom in us, through us, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what the Lord requires of us is a full yes. What he requires to us is to say, yes, Lord, here I am, use me. And we can only do that with the grace of God. And we need to pray and ask the Lord to give us the grace. So let's conclude with a prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are active today. We thank you that you are continuing to build your kingdom here on earth. And Lord, we thank you that you have chosen to do that through us as well as in us. And Lord, we do pray for your grace every day to be able to answer your call, to be able to say again and again a full yes to you, a yes to follow you wherever you lead, despite the cost. In your name, amen.
A good challenge, huh? All right. We are coming to the end, which is, yeah, my time management maybe is not as good as some of the others. But we're close to finishing. Let's stand with some for some intercessions. And then I've got a quick announcement at the end. So we'll do some quick intercessions. I will, in normal fashion, I'll read something out from here. And then invite everyone to pray into this area. If you feel inspired to pray out, great, do it quickly, because I'm going to move us through these fairly quickly. All right, let's begin by praying for the areas of conflict in the world at the moment. Let's remember the Ukraine, Gaza, also southern Lebanon, for God's peace and other places in the world, for God's peace, reconciliation, which really can only be achieved by him. Lord, we pray, oh Lord, for your peace. We pray for these areas, oh God. Lord, have mercy. Please, God, Lord, have mercy. Amen. 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 Let's pray for our brothers and sisters in Sword of the Spirit communities that are in difficult situations. Let's remember particularly our brothers and sisters in Lebanon, those in Syria, those in Nicaragua, for God's provision, God's protection, their safety, for peace, security, and the ability to continue to worship together. Amen. Amen. Let's pray for the different works of that we got ongoing, for the youth work that we have. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters in Koinonia. Let's also pray for YPO, which will be kicking off again very, very soon, for God's grace and fruit as well in all of these areas. Lord, we pray for the youth work. We pray for Corey and Leah. We pray for YPM as well. For Sada, for Mary, Carla, and Sierra, and for someone who may you be active, Lord, Lord
God. Well, thank you for all the ways in which you're giving us opportunities to put our lamps on a lampstand and show you to the world through youth work, Cornelia, and soon YPO. Lord, have and give by your Holy Spirit, give us grace to be courageous, compassionate, and to be your hands and feet and your voice, Lord, to the world in these different works that you have given us, Lord.
Amen. And let's pray for different brothers and sisters that we know of that have needs at this time. Let's pray for the sick, those who are physically or mentally or emotionally sick at this time. We pray for those who are either looking for a change of employment or new employment. Pray for those who are pregnant as well, particularly remembering Kesha at this time, and for those with new babies. And the challenge of making that adjustment as well. Let's pray for these brothers and sisters for God's grace and provision for them. Amen. Amen. And Lord, we do remember the sick to you as well at this time. We particularly remember to you our brother Trevor, that for your healing for him at this time, and you would restore him. And we pray for all of those others who aren't able to be with us this afternoon because they're not feeling well as well, that you would restore them to full health quickly. Amen. And finally, let's pray for ourselves, particularly let's pray for those who are fighting discouragement or fighting spirits that are really bringing them down at this time, for God's lifting up of them, to restore them and give them hope at this time. We pray for your grace, on brothers and sisters. You'll be with them, O Lord of hosts. Amen. Thank you, O Lord.